Let's don't get all emotional this morning, okay? Y'all stop crying, and I'll try to stop crying. Let's get our word out. We're going to jump right in. We got several things to cover today, but I think you're going to enjoy the message. This is our last message in the series on words, and today is just we're going to take a little different approach of where we're at. And we've kind of wrapped up the whole words that come out of your mouth and all of that, but we're going to look at a different part of that helps make it possible to walk in the fullness of using our words for life. So get our word out, Father. Use your word today, God. Holy Spirit, teach us, speak to us, lead us, direct us, guide us in your truth. And Father, let your truth come forth. Let nothing be added or taken away, but God, let the very simple truth that changes and transforms lives, God, let it come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to be doing a little bit of writing on the board here, so I'm going to need your help. If you could just get out a piece of paper, if you got one. Let's take some notes today. Let's work on this together. We're going to be talking about one thing in particular, but we're going to look at several different aspects of this. But the title of today's message is Receiving the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at three different baptisms today. How many of you know that there's three different... Bible talks about three different baptisms in the Word of God. So it's going to be a teaching time today. We're going to jump in here. Number one, there's going to be three parts. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. If you want to jot down this scripture, it's out of 1 Corinthians 12:13. Listen to what it says. It says, "For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink into one spirit." So one spirit, what spirit, what is the one spirit that unifies us, that brings us into harmony? The Holy Spirit. What body has the Holy Spirit baptized us into? The body of Christ, okay? So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. How many of you are thankful that you are in Christ Jesus? So when God looks at you, when God sees you, he sees the finished work of Jesus Christ on you. Amen? Now, the second thing is, the disciple baptizes us in water. How many of you have received Christ? When the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus, what happened in your life, if you remember, you repented of your sins, you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it's only by the Holy Spirit that you come to that place. That's the only way you can come to that is when the Holy Spirit brings you to that place. And then the Holy Spirit baptizes you into one body, into Jesus Christ. And once you receive Christ, you go through that salvation experience. What is the next step that most of us have been through? water baptism. Water baptism. And who baptizes you when you get water baptized? A disciple of Jesus, someone who has committed their life to Christ. It doesn't have to be a pastor. We have many fathers that have baptized their children, different people. So it's a disciple that baptizes you into water. Amen? Now, I want to encourage any of you who have received Christ, who believed for salvation, if you haven't been baptized, to get baptized in water. Amen? Number three. Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. It's three distinct baptisms here. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. The disciples baptize us in water. What does it say in Matthew 28? You remember what it says? It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we come to number three. It says, Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if we realize this, but there are four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? In that order. How many of you know that there are only four things that are in every single gospel? There's only four accounts that are in all four gospels. You know that? Do you know what the four things are? The four things that are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John consistently. The first thing is the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the fourth thing that is common in all four Gospels is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism with the Holy Spirit. Let's see. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus is crucial to our faith. Amen? It's crucial to our faith. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is crucial to our walk. It's crucial to our walk. Look at this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And I apologize to Linda, I wrote that wrong on your sheet. It's Matthew 3, 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then in Mark 1, verses 7 and 8, and he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandals strapped I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And Luke 3:16, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:3, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so we see in all four Gospels The fourth thing that is consistent in all four Gospels is that Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, do you think that we need the Holy Spirit? Do you think we need the Holy Spirit? If Jesus Christ had the Spirit come and remain on him. You see, up until that point, the Spirit had come upon many people in the Bible. If you look through the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon people. You think about Samson. The Spirit would come upon him and he would have great strength. You think about David. The Spirit come upon him. But do you remember what happened when he sinned and he went through that whole time? His cry out in Psalms was, Lord, please do not take your Spirit from me. And you remember when Saul was being anointed as king, it said the Spirit came upon him. But then a little bit later, it said that the Spirit left him. But in this case here, this is where things began. Jesus was baptized with water, and in that moment, the Spirit of God came down upon him and stayed on him. And so we see the very nature of what's happening here. We see how salvation comes. We see how water baptism comes. And we see how the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. Now, if Jesus has laid out this pattern for us, salvation, baptism in water. So you got salvation. You got the water. And you got the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus demonstrates all those things. Number one, did Jesus have to get saved? No, Jesus is the one who saves, okay? So he's already got this one down. He don't have to be saved. He is salvation. And so he is salvation. Did Jesus get water baptized? Absolutely. We see that. We just read that. He was baptized by John. Did Jesus receive the Holy Spirit? We saw that. The Spirit came upon him and rested upon him and stayed upon him. And so if Jesus has given us the example, he showed us the way, is that not what we should go after? Amen? We should follow his example. You see, Jesus was born perfect. How many of you were born perfect? How many of you have been reborn perfect? Come on. There's a statement that Robert Morris made. He said, I am perfect in position. I am not perfect in performance. Anybody agree with that? I want to be perfect in my performance, but it just doesn't happen. But the fact of the matter is that you are perfect in position. And you see, I think a lot of us struggle with that. We don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't receive it. We don't believe it. But when you've received Christ and he's on your life and you're in him, listen, you have been perfected in Christ Jesus. And many of us can't get past that. We just don't get it, and we just keep striving. We just keep trying to do it ourselves. We just get fed up. We just get frustrated. And what we've got to do is we've got to receive it. We've got to understand it. We've got to hold on to it, that you are perfect in Christ Jesus. He has perfected you. And yet he is perfecting you. Now what we're going to see, I want you to turn to Acts 1. What I want us to understand, what I want us to see here is that the Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. That's at a time of repentance. It's a time of salvation. And then you look down here and Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Listen, these cannot be the same. They're not the same. You got two different subjects here. You got the Holy Spirit, you got Jesus. And this one here, you got the Holy Spirit baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. They're distinctly different. And we're going to look at that in Scripture right now. Look at Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, "And being assembled together with them." Now, these are the words of Jesus. He says he commanded them, Jesus commanded them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Wait for the promise." I want you to hold on to that word, so we're going to come back to that. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And if we look in that scripture, what we begin to see is as they waited, as they were there, as they prepared, as they pondered. Because look, none of them knew exactly what to expect. None of them had ever seen what this looked like before. And as they were there and they were waiting and they were in one accord and they were obedient to Jesus. Come on, we can't miss that. It's what they were. They were obedient to what Jesus told them to do. And because they were obedient to what Jesus told them to do, they were positioned in the right place at the right time. And many times, come on, if we're honest, we know what we should do. We've heard God, but we're not obedient. And what we end up doing is we end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And if we just listen to God, he has our best. He has our best in mind. And he wants to put you in the right place at the right time because he wants to pour everything out on you. And what we see is that the Spirit of God came upon those believers. And right from that moment, Peter went out and he preached this message. And what he did, he referred to Joel, the prophet Joel. And what did the prophet Joel say? He said, "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all people." In this moment, Peter was realizing he was seeing a fulfillment of the prophecy that Joel wrote hundreds of years before. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 39 through 39. You see, a lot of people think, and maybe you've heard this before, a lot of people say, well, the Holy Spirit, that whole experience was just for the 120 that were in the upper room. That was just their sign. That was just for them in that moment. Anybody ever heard that before? That was just for them? I mean, sometimes that's taught, or sometimes people try to explain it away. But the scripture is absolutely true and clear. Because we see that the 120 were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But look what begins to happen. It says in Acts 2, 37 through 39. This was after the baptism of the 120. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart," talking about the people that were around. They heard what was going on. "And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me clarify something here. This, when it says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not talking about you will receive one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's understand the scripture here. It says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is not a gift of the Holy, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it's in you, and it will not leave you. Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the, come on, here's that word again, for the promise. Look, the 120 had already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter was talking to another group of people that were there watching. And he says, look, you got to receive the Holy Spirit. First, you got to be baptized into Jesus for the remission of your sins. Amen. And then he says, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that totally blows out. It's only for the 120. And then the last part of that scripture is for us. It says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. Guess who that is? Guess who's far off? We are. We are the afar off. And so God says it's for the ones that are far off. As many as the Lord our God will call. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be baptized into the Holy Spirit, is for every single believer. Can we agree with that? That God wants you to have the fullness of the Spirit in you. Now, I want to take just a second here because these are three distinct things that happen. When you receive Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit convicted you of your unbelief in Christ, and you said, woe is me, I am undone without Christ. When you did that, that wasn't the same time you got baptized. You weren't in the water getting ready to go down under the water and be immersed, fully immersed, and go, oh yeah, I want to accept Christ. No, that was a distinct separate time. You received Christ, and because you received Christ, all of a sudden there was something in you that said, man, I want to be baptized. Because salvation and being baptized in water are two different things. Let me say this. When Jesus baptizes us with the Spirit, it's a different thing. There's three different things. Now let me ask you this. Can you go to heaven if you haven't been water baptized? Some of you may disagree, but it's okay. You can disagree. Yes, you can. Can you go to heaven if you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. Some of you might disagree. Some of you might have a problem with that. That's okay. Get in your word. Get in your word. Read it. Study it. We'll talk about it. But you look at the scriptures and you walk through the word. All right. Here, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit baptized in Jesus, salvation. 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 Baptism. Baptism is an outward sign of cutting off the flesh, cutting off the old man, dying to self, rising up to new life. Amen. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power. It's the receiving the power to walk out this new life. Now, let me ask you this. Have you lived your life, your spiritual life, have you lived that life without the power of the Holy Spirit before? And you've tried to walk it out. You've tried to be as good as you can and do the right things and measure up. And you try all and you try and you try and you try and you try and you just end up frustrated. because God says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. It doesn't matter. You can try your hardest, you can try to be your best, but at the end of the day, you're still gonna stink. And yet with Jesus Christ, we are perfected in that. And the Holy Spirit is what empowers us to do and to live and to flow out of the place of grace. Now, we can try to live our life without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you what, it's going to be frustrating. Because when you walk through the baptism into Jesus, and now we're going to see in just a second, it is absolutely possible to walk through the baptism of Jesus and not be baptized with the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture. We're going to see that in just a second. But when you receive Christ, and maybe you go through baptism, but if you don't receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's going to be frustrating. Your light, because you can imagine a light bulb trying to work without power. It don't matter how hard it wants to work, it's not going to work without the power. And the Holy Spirit is the power that we plug into. Amen? So we are called. We are the children who are far off. The promise is for us today. Acts 8. What I love about it, in all these scriptures, if you look at all these scriptures that we're reading, what you see is you see all three. You see repentance, the baptism in the water, and receiving the Holy Spirit. You can see the very distinct three parts in each of these scriptures that we are studying today. So Acts 8, verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Now look, we're way past Pentecost. We're way past the upper room experience. Now Philip is preaching these things, and it says that the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Two distinctly different. Distinctly different. I hope you're beginning to see the picture of what God's doing here. There's one, there's two, there's three. And many of us we've received Christ. We've been baptized into Jesus. And many of us have went through water baptism when we've died to the old man and risen up. But right here, this is where the power comes in. This is where the life, the vibrant life that gives you the purpose and the passion to live in the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, we see again the believers that Philip was talking to. They believed, they were baptized, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, we got to ask us a question. Will we receive the Holy Spirit? Now, when somebody come to you and they were bringing salvation to you, and you were thinking about this and that, what happened in your heart? You began to see that, man, we are sinful people, right? We are dirty. We got a lot of issues, and all of a sudden you began to see that Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the one that could clean you and make you holy and purify you. And so in your heart, you believed, right? You believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You believe that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And you received him into your life, and the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ Jesus. So in that moment when you received Christ, you were in him. Now, has anybody ever come and said, hey, well, will you receive the Holy Spirit? Will you receive the Holy Spirit? Because what happens is before we receive Christ, we realize, man, our life, we couldn't do it. We were never going to measure up. And what you begin to understand when you walk with Christ is that unless he does it through us, we are not going to do it. You find that out real quick in your spiritual walk. And I believe that's why a lot of people will come and they'll receive Christ, and then in a few months they're discouraged, or in a few months they don't know what to do, or a few months they walk away. And it's because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. They haven't been empowered to live and walk the Spirit-filled life that is available for all of us. Now in Acts 19, flip over to Acts 19. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. Now, if they're disciples, what does that tell you about them? They've already been baptized into Jesus. They've already repented. They've already received salvation, or they wouldn't be called disciples. And so Paul come and he found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And I imagine, man, if we're really honest and we've been in church and different denominations or different religion for a while, there's probably been some times in your life where you've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hasn't been taught. The Holy Spirit hasn't been, the scripture hasn't been brought out about the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times people want to leave the Holy Spirit out of the equation. Now, the last time I checked, it was the Trinity. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The last time I checked, God's plan was a whole lot better than ours. The last time I checked, the Word of God taught us theology, and that theology is better than ours. Amen? And so Paul found them, and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we haven't even as much as heard of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you this. Paul, I mean, we could debate, but Paul really he's the greatest apostle that we see in the New Testament. It's evidenced by the fact that he wrote over a third of the New Testament. His writings are found in over a third of the New Testament. Now, if Paul, the greatest apostle, he understood theology, right? He understood how things worked. Now, if Paul asked the people, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What are we going to ask ourselves? What are we going to ask ourselves? If Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So that right there shows you they were already believers. They had already been baptized in the water, and yet they had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul makes this very clear. He's talking to disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit? And he said to them, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. So we see they believe, they've been baptized into water. John had baptized them. Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance. saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, we can try to hide the Word of God. We can try to overlook pieces of the Word of God. But what I would say for us is, man, let's read the Word of God. Let's study the Word of God, and let's apply the Word of God, what it says, to our lives. And we don't have to explain it away. We don't have to make excuses. We can just do simply what it says. Wouldn't that make things a lot easier if we just read the Word of God and we just did what the Word of God said, and we quit trying to, you know, put our twist on everything? First John chapter 5. Man, I'm going to tell you what, if you can get this message today, this is an empowering message. It's an empowering message because of the empowering scriptures that it's revealing to you today. If we can take it, and I'm telling you, man, if you're stirring on the inside, get in your word. Get in there yourself and read it. If you don't quite understand exactly, get in there and figure it out, because the Holy Spirit will teach you when you get a hold of that stuff. Because I'm telling you, God wants you to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants the Holy Spirit to be in you. Look at it like this. When we received Christ, we invited Christ into our heart, right? Christ, what does Christ do? He stands at the door of your heart and he what? He knocks. He's there. And in that moment, when he's knocking on the door, you reach over and you open the door of your heart. And did you invite Christ in? Or did you just sling open the door of your heart and say, well, you can come in if you want to? Or did you say, Jesus, I need you. Come in, please. You welcomed him in. You invited him in. The tears were flowing. Your heart was beating. Everything was. Now, if we invited Jesus to come in and to save us, wouldn't it make sense that we would invite the Holy Spirit to come in and empower us? If Jesus knocks, you think the Holy Spirit knocks? Do you think the Holy Spirit wants to come in you? I believe he does. 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. Come on. There are three that bear witness in heaven. What are they bearing witness of in heaven? They're bearing witness that they're supernatural. That there's more than just this earth. If they're in heaven and they're bearing witness of something, they say, hey, look, there's more. There's more than what you see with your natural eyes. Do you believe that? Do you believe in your heart that there's more going on here than what we can see with our natural eyes? Does anybody believe that there's more happening? That there is spirit. There's spirit that's going on, and there's things in the natural that's going on. And so there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Father, God, the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. What does it say in John 1? It says that the Word was with God. The Word was God. And so the Word represents Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And so these three, it says the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. These three are one. And they bear witness in heaven. And then it says, and there are three that bear witness on earth. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the water. Come on, the water. We're baptized in the water. We die to the old man. The flesh is dead. You've experienced in your life. And the blood, what does the blood represent? Jesus Christ, salvation. Why is it blood? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of your sins. If Jesus doesn't shed his blood for you, you're responsible for your own sins. And yet, there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. We know that Jesus is the Word. We know that Jesus is the blood. And we walk in this right here. We walk in salvation in Jesus, being baptized in the water, dying to the old man. But I'm asking us today to receive the Holy Spirit in our life. If you're here this morning and you haven't received the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, you simply open up your heart and you say, God, Holy Spirit, come in to me. I receive what you have, God. I want to be empowered. I want to walk in the power. And God says, if you cry out and you ask for the Holy Spirit, what does it say? What does it say? It says he will give it to you. If you're asking for the Holy Spirit, look, some people never even heard of the Holy Spirit. You can't say that today. You can't walk out of here today and say you haven't heard about the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you need the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I need the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit, our spiritual life is going to be frustrating at best. But with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit guides us. You ever walked in your spiritual life and you needed somebody to guide you because you were a little bit lost in your spiritual walk? Yes. Have you ever felt weak and alone and afraid in your spiritual walk? The Holy Spirit empowers you. You ever didn't understand something? The Holy Spirit teaches you. He brings you to a place of wisdom. I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit is the key to a successful walk here on this earth. Jesus is the doorway to heaven. Salvation only comes through him. And if you stopped right here, praise God. I mean, praise God. But God's got more for us. God's got more for us. Praise God that we go through water baptism, that we understand that our old man is dying. Praise God. But praise God that God had a better plan. He knew we couldn't walk our walk by ourselves. He knew he could save us, clean us, spit shine us. But he knew we couldn't do it alone. So he sent his Holy Spirit. Do you realize that Jesus had to go to the right hand of the Father and then the Holy Spirit come? And even Jesus Christ himself said, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit would come. That's powerful. And if Jesus says it's better that I go to the Father and the Holy Spirit would come and be in you, then every single one of us who love Jesus and receive Christ should receive the Holy Spirit. Now let me say, we got three distinct. A lot of people think, man, I've got Jesus, I got everything I needed, amen, praise the Lord, I'm out. I'm just telling you, by the scriptures today, we see that you can receive Christ, get baptized. Paul says, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit's real. A lot of times in our life, we walk through and we're like, well, I just don't feel anything. I don't know. Look, I'm telling you what, you be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it enriches your walk. It changes your life. It changes your decisions. It changes who you are. It gives you the ability to see from a heavenly perspective. I'm telling you, when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, it lifts you up. Now, I got one last thing I want to show you. We're about done, so Jason, could you come? And I'm not a big fan of writing on the board and all that stuff. But it takes time, and you know, you got to get stuff out. But it's kind of important today. You got to get every last bit off. Is anybody like that? There we go. Now I want to show you something here. Now, how many of you have seen like the tabernacle that Moses they built, and they traveled with them wherever they went, and they'd set it up? You've seen illustrations of that before. I want you to look at this. If you remember from the diagrams, it's a rectangle. There's only one entrance into the tabernacle. There's only one entrance. There's only one doorway. Come on, let's get this. There's only one doorway into the tabernacle. Let's understand, when you went into the tabernacle, the whole purpose into going into the tabernacle was to get into the presence of God. It was to be in the presence of God. And in the tabernacle, there was the holy place and the most holy place. And right here, this is where the literal presence of God rested. Can you imagine that? I mean, God actually existed in this place. He was present. Now, there was only one door. Anybody want to take a guess at what that one door represents? Yeah, it's not. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you. Skylar, you get an A today. So you come in through one door. There's still only one door. There's only one door to the Father, even though many people will tell you there's many doors and you can get there however you want and la, 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 la. But you come into the door, what is the first thing that you come to? Does anybody know? The altar. What is the altar? What do you do at the altar? You sacrifice, you shed blood for your sins. So blood, you repent of sins. And we know that the blood atones, cleanses our sins, right? And so we go to the altar, right through there. And the next thing that we come to is the laver. The laver. If you know what the laver is water. It's a big thing of water. And you wash your hands. You cleanse your hands. You wash. I want you to see, is this beginning to look anything like this? Salvation, baptism. Now, when you leave the water, you know what the next thing that you come to is? The next thing that you come to is a flask of oil. There's oil. You have to be anointed with oil. What does oil represent? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It's only when you've entered through the door, it's only when you went through the altar, through the water, through the oil, that you can come in to the holy place. Look at this though. Some of us may say, well, I received Jesus. My sins have been forgiven. I've been baptized. But look, if you leave this place right here, and you try to bypass that and try to come into here, does anybody know what the penalty for entering into the most holy, into the holy place was? If you did it, death. 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 What I love with God, there's always a, God always has an order, doesn't he? For a reason. And it's for our benefit. That's what I love about God, our Father, is he always has us in mind when he's already saw us when he puts things together. And we see very clearly, even from the tabernacle, man, how beautiful the picture is that God's already laid out. Come through the door, go through the blood, through the water, through the Holy Spirit. Listen, when we get saved, we become a new person. When we go through water baptism, we're cutting off the old man. We're dying to self. But when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are being empowered to walk out the new life. Listen, I care about each one of you. I love you. I love you. And I don't care if you've been following Christ for 50 years or 100 years or you just got saved. I'm telling you, there is power in what God has designed. You can't tell me, oh, well, I did this. No, look, if you came into the tabernacle and you say, well, I got the blood and I don't need that and I'm just going right. No, look, it don't work that way. There's a process that God takes us through. Ain't that right, Taylor? Process. There's a process that God takes us through. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Christ. Look, we could have missed it. But God says you haven't missed it today. And so wherever you're at, whatever you're walking through, God wants to fill you. Jesus wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It'd be stupid for me as your pastor to stand up here and not teach you this. It really would. Woe is me. It'd be crazy for me not to teach you to be empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so my heart for you today is that you will receive the Word of God, you will look at the Scriptures, and that you will receive. Look, I think most all of you have probably received Christ. Amen? How many of you have received Christ? It's about half of you. And so how many of you have been water baptized? The other half, okay. And then today, every single one of us have the opportunity to say, Holy Spirit, come into me. I've heard of you. I've read about you, but I need you. You don't think the Holy Spirit will answer you? I got news for you. He's waiting. He is waiting. He is waiting for you. And let me tell you, there is no life like a saved, spirit-filled life. Religion cannot supplement it. Tradition cannot supplement it. There's plenty of fakes. There's plenty of imposters, but the word of God is true. Jesus saves and the Holy Spirit empowers. Come on. Jesus saves and the Holy Spirit empowers. How many of you want to live a spirit-filled, empowered life, able to walk in the grace of Jesus and do the things that he's called you to do? We don't have to second guess it. It's not about emotion. Do you know you can be happy without emotion? Now, some of you don't get that. No, you can be happy without your emotion. You don't have to have an emotion of joy to be happy. The very foundation of what we're talking about today, Jesus. He's the foundation that brings joy and happiness. We don't have to have the emotion to go with it, I'm telling you. I don't get excited because of my emotion. I get excited because of who he is. And the revelation of who he is so penetrates our heart. Man, it creates excitement. It creates anticipation. It creates love. So my heart for you today is that you receive the Holy Spirit. Just like you invited Christ to come into your heart. I would ask you today, invite the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. And I would even say this, you know, sometimes we go through spells, and we see this in the scripture that the Holy Spirit came upon them again. You believe that? Do you believe that you can get filled up with the Holy Spirit again? According to scripture, it's happened. If it's happened once, well, I believe it can happen again. And so I would say today, maybe you've been walking a spirit-filled life, and maybe you've just kind of fallen off the tracks. Maybe you just kind of lost your way. Maybe you just unplugged. Today's the day to plug back in. Today's the day to get it right. Maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would ask you today just to receive all that God has for you. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. Say, Holy Spirit, come into me. And maybe some of you are here today and you never even received Christ. You haven't even walked through the door yet. Maybe you're out here. Maybe you're out here looking in. That's a frown. Maybe you're out here looking in. Maybe you haven't even received Christ, but I'm telling you what, God's got a journey for you. God's got a journey for you. If you're here today and you haven't received Christ, today is the day. And I'm going to tell you, if you're here today and you've walked with Christ, but you've fallen away, you kind of lost your steam, you lost your position, you lost your direction, look, today's the day to get it right. That's the beautiful thing about God is he's always ready. He's always willing. He's always there for you. And if we're all honest, we've turned our back on God many times. We've walked away from what we knew we should be doing many times. And every time God receives us back because he loves us. There's not one of you parents out here that if your kid did something bad, yeah, you'd be disappointed. Yes, you'd be upset. Yes, you might be mad. But you would never abandon them. You would never say, you're no longer my daughter. You're no longer my son. Get out of my sight. God, you wouldn't do that. God surely wouldn't do that. And there's not a one of you parents here that wouldn't do anything and everything you got inside of you to empower your kids. Is there? If there was something you could do, if there was anything you could do to empower them to be better, to live a more successful and purposeful life, you'd do it. If you knew you could do something to them and they would be on fire for God and they would be successful in their pursuit of Jesus Christ, you would do it in a heartbeat. God's better than we are. His plan's better than our plan. Listen, I'm telling you, this is the key for us. It's the key for us as a body to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, you've been filled with the power of salvation in the blood of Christ. You've walked through water baptism. I'm saying, man, let's receive all that God has for us in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask, elders and wives, could you come? I just want to have people up here ready to pray. Anybody that's on our prayer team that's here, that's available. I want to start it like this. Look, number one, if you haven't walked through the doorway of Jesus Christ, today's the day. You're not here by accident. It's not a coincidence. You didn't just happen to show up at Cornerstone Community Church today. God organized, God destined for you. God brought you into this place and he said, look, Jesus is the answer. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus and you want to, I want you to get up and I want you to come down here and I want you to go to Randy and Sherry on the end down there. Randy, just wave your hand. If you want to receive Christ, if you want to walk through the doorway of Jesus today, I want you to go down there. Just get up and go there. It doesn't matter. Maybe everybody in here is saved. That's awesome. Number two, if you haven't been water baptized, if you've received Christ and you haven't been water baptized, all right, I want you to get up and I want you to go to Randy and Sherry. We want to get you baptized. We want you to walk through the baptism of water, dying to the old self. If there's anybody in here that you're bearing witness with this right now and you need to get water baptized, I want you to go see Sherry and Randy down there. We're going to get some names together. Everybody's been baptized in the water. All right. Number three, the Holy Spirit. If you're in a place today and you've never received the Holy Spirit, maybe you would be say, well, I've never even heard that much about the Holy Spirit. But today you have. Today's the day to receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, I want you to come down to the altar right here. If you're here today and you want to receive the Holy Spirit, I want you to get up and I want you to come down. Look, God has it all for you. Just come down, find one of the elders, one of the prayer team. Come on, if you're living a life and you haven't been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want you just to get up and come down. Amen. Come on, this last one. Maybe you've walked with Christ in your life, but you're in a place right now where you need to repent. You need to look at this order again. You need to come to a place of repentance in your life. I want to open up that. I want you to come down. If you're in a place where you want to repent, you want to set some things straight, you want to get back on the right track, you want to give God the right place in your life, I want you to get up and I want you to come down. I want you to find yourself at the altar. I want you to get real before God and repent. Just lay it down. God's made all of this possible for you. For you. Last thing I want to say, maybe you've lived your life. Maybe you've lived your life and you were your spirit filled, but you haven't been walking with the Spirit. Maybe you've allowed other things to come in, other things to crowd out, other things. I believe that God is calling you today to surrender to those things, to release your life, and to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you can walk the life, you can live the life that he's called you to live. That you can be empowered. That you can have purpose. That you can walk in the blessing that God has for you. Just find your way to the altar. Look, you got to be real between you and God. You got to be real between you and God. You got to take opportunities like this. You got to take advantage of them. God doesn't call you for no reason. So the altar's going to be open. What I'm going to ask is that in the sanctuary for now, that we remain quiet, that we remain respectful, that we respect what's going on up here in the lives of the men and the women. And at any point, if you want to come and get prayer, the altar's open. If you want to come and have somebody agree with you and stand with you, it's open. Otherwise, we love you. Be empowered, but quietly, quietly leave the sanctuary. Be blessed. Have an awesome week. But the altar is going to remain open for prayer in Jesus' name.